Later, they sent some of the Pharisees and Herodians to Jesus to catch him in his words. They came to him and said, "Teacher, we know that you are a man of integrity. You aren't swayed by others because you pay no attention to who they are. But you teach the way of God in accordance with the truth. Is it right to pay the poll tax to Caesar or not? Should we pay or shouldn't we?" But Jesus knew their hypocrisy. "Why are you trying to trap me?" he asked. "Bring me a denarius and let me look at it." They brought the coin and he asked them, "Whose image is this? And whose inscription?" "Caesar's," they replied. Then Jesus said to them, "Give back to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's." This is the word of the Lord.
Well done, Rosemary. Thank you so much. Word perfect. Sorry, we communicated that on Friday on the phone. The very last phrase there, and they were amazed at him. They were amazed at Jesus' teaching. Let's turn to the Old Testament reading, Proverbs chapter 1. See if as I can read as well as Rosemary. Word perfect. So Proverbs chapter 1, I'll read the whole chapter. "The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, for gaining wisdom and instruction, for understanding words of insight, for receiving instruction in prudent behavior, doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to those who are simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. Let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance, for understanding proverbs and parables, the sayings and riddles of the wise. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Listen, my son, to your father's instruction." So those the dark text there is not part of the original Bible. So going down to the verse 8. "Listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. They are a garland to grace your head and a chain to adorn your neck. My son, if sinful men entice you, do not give in to them. If they say, 'Come along with us, let us lie in wait for innocent blood. Let's ambush some harmless soul. Let's swallow them alive like the grave and whole like those who go down to the pit. We'll get all sorts of valuable things and fill our houses with plunder. Cast lots with us. We will all share the loot.' My son, do not go along with them. Do not set foot on their paths, for their feet rush into evil. They are swift to shed blood. How useless to spread a net where every bird can see it. These men lie in wait for their own blood. They ambush only themselves. Such are the paths of all who go after ill-gotten gain. It takes away the life of those who get it. Out in the open, wisdom calls out. She raises her voice in the public square. On top of the walls, she cries out. At the city gate, she makes her speech. How long will you who are simple love your simple ways? How long will mockers delight in mockery and fools hate knowledge? Repent at my rebuke, then I will pour out my thoughts to you. I will make known to you my teachings. But since you refuse to listen when I call and no one pays attention when I stretch out my hand, since you disregard all my advice and do not accept my rebuke, in turn I will laugh when disaster strikes you. I will mock when calamity overtakes you. When calamity overtakes you like a storm, when disaster sweeps over you like a whirlwind, when distress and trouble overwhelm you. Then they will call to me, but I will not answer. They will look for me, but will not find me. Since they hated knowledge and did not choose to fear the Lord. Since they would not accept my advice and spurned my rebuke, they will eat the fruit of their ways and be filled with the fruit of their schemes. For the waywardness of the simple will kill them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But whoever listens to me will live in safety and be at ease without fear of harm. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, please keep that passage open. We're going to think about it together now. Don't know what happened there. Regulars at Dagenham Parish Church know that our pattern here is that on a Sunday we work through a book of the Bible, typically chapter by chapter or section by section, through the weeks. That is the way the Bible's written. It's written in books. So we will, rather than dotting all over in a haphazard fashion, that means sometimes we are going through a series in a New Testament book, or as we are now, an Old Testament book. We're going to go through chapters 1 to 9, God willing, over the coming weeks. Proverbs is a book of wisdom. So I want to just start briefly by saying, what is wisdom? What is the book of Proverbs? Could we have the next slide, Mark, for that? Here we go. What is wisdom? What is the book of Proverbs? And then in chapter 1, we've got an invitation and two warnings. So next slide. The question, what is wisdom? First thing about wisdom to know, it's about being an expert in life. I wonder if you've seen experts who are good at things. I took my bike recently to be fixed. I thought it was a simple job. It wasn't. No, but when I took it to him, it was a simple job because he was an expert. There are musicians at the front here who make the tune seem straightforward. Steve, there's someone wanted to come in, I think. Wisdom is that kind of skill. It's not the skill in fixing a bike or skill in making a tune. It's a skill in relationships and conversations and reacting to situations. Wise people are skillful at living life. That's what wisdom is. Proverbs is one of the books that's particularly orientated to make us skillful in life. The next feature is about choices. We face lots of choices. We face complex situations where we might not be certain what to do. Now, God does give rules, fixed instructions for life. Do not murder. We understand that instruction, and I hope no one's tempted to break that instruction today. That's a plain instruction. But there are many situations that require more thought than a simple command like that. So how do we decide? Some people claim that God will tell you what to do in dreams and visions, but the New Testament does not promise to tell us what we should choose in different situations. That is a mistake. If you look on our church website, if you want to pursue this, on our church website, bottom of the page, there's an article there pointing you to all of the dreams and visions in the book of Acts, and it'll show you that all of those dreams and visions are about taking God's word to the nations. They're not helping people make day-to-day decisions. God does not promise that his Holy Spirit will make the choices for you or me. So how do we deal with complex decisions? The laws of God are there for a framework for life, but they don't make complex decisions. Dreams and visions are not promised by God. Wisdom is the skill for moment-by-moment choices. And wisdom in the Bible means having the skill to live in accord with the way God has made the world.
So it's great that Mark picked a song at the beginning to do God with the Creator. God has made the world and he's made it in a certain pattern. And wisdom is understanding that sort of pattern. The wise person notices. The wise person picks up the clues in a situation. You could say they cut with the grain. They tear along the perforated edge. They spot the signs. You see, you can be very gifted and very clever. You can build a rocket that flies to space, but in the biblical terms, still be unwise. Lacking skills in relationships and conversations. You could teach a parrot to say a proverb from the Bible, but the parrot is not wise because it doesn't understand the meaning of the words. Wisdom is understanding the way of God's world and making good choices. And Proverbs trains us to do that, not by filling our heads with a set of facts. We will not become wise and successful in living this life without becoming a certain character. That is what this book is aiming for. And that's what we should be hungry for in the coming weeks, that God is going to make our character right. It's the sorts of people who will think the right things and choose the right choices. So wisdom is being an expert in life. It's about choices. Thirdly, it's the skill of kings. Rosemary, thank you, Rosemary, so much for switching the reading that you expected to have this week to the one I was planning. You saw the wisdom of Jesus. People were there to trap him. He saw through it and asked a question that exposed that. Last week we read from Solomon's account, or the experience of Solomon, where he demonstrated his wisdom by making a suggestion that revealed the situation, showed it for what it is. Other kings in the Bible, like Pharaoh in Egypt and Nebuchadnezzar in Babylon, you might have heard of them, they got wise men to come around them because they knew they needed help to be wise. So Pharaoh famously got Joseph to advise and be his wise man. Nebuchadnezzar famously got Daniel to come and give him wisdom to help him in making choices and decisions. But the followers of Christ are also meant to become wise ourselves, become like Christ, our King, in becoming wise in making decisions. Being wise is part of what it means to walk in step with the Spirit. So that's what wisdom is, being an expert in life, making the right choices. It's the skill of kings. What about this book of Proverbs? Very briefly to tell you about the book of Proverbs, three main sections that you can see up there. The first nine chapters tell us how much wisdom matters. It says, read this book. This is going to be really helpful for you. Then chapters 10 to 19 are full of the short sayings. This is what we tend to think a proverb is, a one-line sentence, like the early bird catches the worm. That's an English proverb. Or it takes a village to raise a child. I think that's African proverb, isn't it? One-word sentences. That's what chapters 10 to 29 are full of. But Proverbs, it's got more variety than that. So if you look in chapter 1, verse 6, it says there, this book is for understanding proverbs and parables, the sayings and riddles of the wise. So four different sorts of words there for different kinds of teaching. Then the third section you see up on the board there, the final two chapters are longer sayings again. My hope is, God willing, we'll go through chapters 1 to 9 up to November. And then if we're all still here next year in the autumn, we'll carry on into the short sayings section. So let's get into Proverbs chapter 1. Next slide, please. We've got an invitation and then two warnings. Let me read again verse 2 to 6. Chapter 1, verse 2. This book is for gaining wisdom and instruction, for understanding words of insight. So for gaining wisdom and instruction, verse 3, for receiving instruction in prudent behavior, doing what is right and just and fair, making good decisions, for giving prudence to those who are simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. But it's not just for them. Let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance. This book of the Bible is to give us wisdom. This is something we need. The book right at the beginning is telling us that's what it's for, saying these things matter, and is encouraging us. You can get this. You too can learn to be wise. You too can learn wisdom. The simple can gain from it, those who don't know very much, and those who are already wise can become wiser. So hopefully that's all of us, but we'll see in a bit that there might be some who aren't included. Verse 7 tells us the most important step in this. Verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord. We won't go any further until we have some fear of the Lord. It's fascinating to wonder, what does that mean? It doesn't just mean we've got to be frightened people or frightened at the thought of God. It's a bigger concept than that. The fear of the Lord. Let me illustrate it for you. Here's a couple of illustrations of a person who has the fear of the Lord. Imagine you're in a supermarket and suddenly the lights go out, the power drops. And the evidence is every time that happens, whether it's in a well-to-do area or in a poorer area, lots of people will take stuff from the supermarket and go without paying because the lights are out, no one will see. But if you've got the fear of God, you won't do that. Because you know God is watching when the lights are out. That is the fear of God. Another illustration. If you're a younger student or school pupil and you've got an exam, you're sitting there writing the exam, we're all writing the exam, and the teacher goes out, goes off, has a cup of coffee, goes to the loo, chats with some friends. What are you going to do sat in the exam there? Are you going to cheat? Are you going to copy with your person next to you? If you have the fear of God, you're not. Because even though the teacher's not there, you know God is there. That's a very significant character, isn't it? Do we have that? Do we have that awareness? An obvious test for us is, do you have a different way of speaking when you're at church on a Sunday from your Monday to Saturday life? Why is that? If you're saying you're someone who's aware of God, fear of the Lord would stop you doing that. Fear of God is knowing all of my life is before Him. That's one aspect of it. And this is, it says here, verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. That doesn't mean it's baby lessons that you leave behind. It's like the ABC of writing. So when you're a baby, you learn ABC, you learn your letters, and then you use them for the rest of your life. Every reading experience that you have will require you to know those letters. Every text that you write, every message that you send, employs the ABCs that you've learnt. So you never leave them behind, but you just get better and better at using them. And this is saying the fear of the Lord is like that. It's essential, it's fundamental. You will never leave it behind. You will just develop in your practice of it and the character that comes from it. Or it's like the notes in music. You know, musicians, when they're beginning, they're learning where the notes are on the keyboard, or they learn the rhythm on the drum. They're very basic. And they don't say, I did notes when I was a beginner, but I don't need notes, now I'm an expert. Notes is what you use, and you get more and more expert at using the notes. That's the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord in wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the essence of being wise, and we grow more and more wise as we practice living in the fear of the Lord. You can't start without it, and you will always depend on it if you are a wise person. So verse 7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. They don't want to listen. They don't fear the Lord. Last week, we remembered the story of Angela Rayner, who had resigned in the week. And I don't know the full story, but the story I've heard, so you know, I'm not wanting to condemn Angela Rayner and say, you know, I'm better than her or anything like that, but from the story I've heard, she's a picture of this. The story I've heard is that Angela Rayner was told by some professionals, you need to seek some more legal advice about your flat and managing the money. And she didn't. Okay, so she's like, you know, she's like Pharaoh, who's got the wise man telling her what to do. Pah, not going to do it. She's like Nebuchadnezzar, got Daniel telling him what to do. Not going to listen. That's a fool. And we see here that the characteristic of the fool, or the contrast to the wise person in Proverbs, it's to do with a character. It's not that she didn't have the information. It's what it was her character that chose to ignore that advice. I don't know why, but you know, it could be, we could guess it's because she was lazy. That's a bad character, to be a lazy person. It could be because she lacked courage to say no to her boss, who was making her too busy. It could be because she was proud. I'm not like those people who need to follow these rules. I'm an MP. I don't know. It could be something else. But the story suggests that, doesn't it? That she is like this person here, described here, the fool who despises instruction. Because being truly wise is about character. And what we're told here is, I can learn. You can learn. Listen. Listen, you can learn, but learning will require bringing your life, living your life before God, always with the fear of the Lord, and being changed as a person in the sorts of things you choose and the values that you have. But then there are two warnings. We've got those. Here we go. First, don't join a gang. Let me read from verse 10. My son, if sinful men entice you, do not give in to them. If they say, the sinful men, come along with us, let's lie in wait for innocent blood, let's ambush some harmless soul, let's swallow them alive like the grave and whole like those who go down to the pit, we will get all sorts of valuable things and fill our houses with plunder. Cast lots with us, and we will all share the loot. My son, do not go along with them. Now we see here that the style of the book of Proverbs is parents teaching a son. That's very much the style all the way through. We can all learn, but the style of Proverbs is written for young men. And it's an extraordinary way to begin the book. You know, we've just had these first seven verses that say, you can learn. You can learn to live well in the world and be an expert at life. And then the very first thing that we need to learn to be an expert in life is don't join a gang. That's a surprising thing. I mean, I don't know if anyone this week has been invited to come along and let's kill someone. That's an extraordinary thing to start the book of Proverbs with. That's what it says. Part of the appeal here for young men, but for all of us, is we want to be in a group. And that's there in verse 11. They say, come along with us. Let's together wait for innocent blood. Let's ambush some harmless soul. Let's together swallow them alive. Verse 13. We, you and us, will get all sorts of valuable things. Verse 14. Cast lots with us. We'll all share the loot together. Be in our gang. That's the appeal of gangs for lots of young men, isn't it? It's a group to belong to. But what does he say? He says, don't join those sinners. Now, that can be a bit confusing, because we've said this morning we're all sinners. We all, in the sense that we all choose to go our way, not God's. We all fail to thank God. We're all sinners. I think the character of these people is they're stuck on that path. And that's the characteristic of all their life. They're sinners. So he's not saying, look, you're better than those people. We're all like those people to some extent. We're all of our hearts have envy. All of our hearts tend to be glad when someone we don't like has a bad situation. But let's not join in with those people for whom that is their way of life as a regular pattern. Why not join in with them? A couple of reasons. Verse 15, he says, my son, do not go along with them. Do not set foot on their paths. For their feet rush into evil, they are swift to shed blood. Shedding blood is evil. It's in the Bible, it's the image for killing. Because if you take the blood from someone, you're taking their life from them. Don't join them. But then there's another surprising reason that you might be surprised that is in the Bible. Verse 18. These men lie in wait for their own blood. They ambush only themselves. Such are the paths of all who go after ill-gotten gain. It takes away the life of those who get it. Now, we might say to our children, you know, you are parents of children, if your parents of a child is a teenager or coming into teenage years, don't join a gang. I'd be so upset if you joined a gang. You know, we based it on our relationship. Or we might think the Bible would say, don't join a gang because God is so kind and generous. And to be in a gang, it doesn't reflect who your Heavenly Father is. It doesn't go with his camp. But it doesn't say that. What it says is, don't join a gang because it won't work out. And that doesn't seem very Christian, does it? It doesn't seem good enough as a reason. But the book of Proverbs is about living in line with the way God has made the world. Becoming a character who lives, you know, cuts according to the grain, like I said, lives in line with the truth. And the truth of the world is, in the end, it will not work out for those in gangs. The gang members who end up in prison. The gang members who end up addicted to the drugs they sold to others. The gang members who live in fear of the other gangs who they've been in competition with. It's a very accurate portrayal of what it often turns out to be. Don't join the gang. Proverbs is very realistic here about the temptations of life. For young men, but for all of us, we want to be part of a community. We want to be in a group. But there is a community we should never join. There is a group we should not be part of. Because they are destroying lives, and they themselves will be destroyed. And the second realistic temptation here is easy money. It's on the TV all the time, isn't it? It's in the news all the time. Look, here's an opportunity to get a lot of money without working hard. Ever heard that one? I mean, who has not heard that? It's all the time. And that's exactly the temptation here. Come along, this is going to be easy. We're just going to pounce on someone, take the money, share the loot, our house will be full of stuff. That is what the world often offers us. That is very attractive to us. And it's one of the themes in the book of Proverbs, to beware of people who offer you schemes for easy money. So the first warning, don't join a gang. Second warning on the screen, please. Don't reject the chance to learn. Don't reject the chance to learn. And to help us understand this opportunity God gives us to learn skill for living, to become wise people in making choices, he uses a picture of a woman out in the public places. She's in places where people will see her, hear her, like someone in a market. Customers. It was better a bit back. Try this. Let me read you a bit of that. So verse 20. Out in the open, wisdom calls out. And then it turns out wisdom is a lady. She raises her voice in the public square. On top of the wall, she cries out. At the city gate, she makes her speech. So, you know, this is not a super complicated program, and you have to pay for it on the internet and sign up. And it's not hard to access. She's going after people. She's saying, listen. She's shouting at them. And she makes she speaks about three groups, the simple, the mockers, and the fools. So verse 22, how long will you who are simple love your simple ways? How long will mockers delight in mockery and fools hate knowledge? So three groups there, the simple, the mockers, and the fools. Let me tell you a bit about who each of them are. The simple, they're not just people who don't know very much. They're drifting. They're simple in that they haven't made a choice. They're uncommitted. But they are teachable. There's time for them to learn. You know, they could go one of two routes. They've not yet made a commitment, the simple. The mockers and the fools are worse because they're saying, oh, they've made their decision and they're not listening. So the mocker is aggressive and confident. They're often successful people, the people who mock. And so it can be hard for us not to listen to their voice. You know, they're powerful. It's embarrassing to disagree with them because they're succeeding. If we're parents of people who are mockers, they think we're a pain when we speak to them. They sigh heavily when we speak to them. And then there's the fool. A fool is stubborn and will not listen. He always knows what's right, always has an excuse, and has closed their hearts to any advice. So the woman wisdom doesn't speak to the mockers and the fools. She talks about them. And so we're all realistic that those people are about. But she's speaking to the simple because there's still time for them to listen. They've not yet made a commitment to the wrong way. So verse 23, repent at my rebuke. Then I will pour out my thoughts to you. I will make known to you my teachings. We have to be able to listen to a rebuke. In the Bible, we will be told when we get things wrong. And repent means change. So right now is the time for you to say, I'm listening, God. Right now is a point for you to say, God, you're saying to me this morning, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. I need all of my life, increasingly, all the different patches of my life, to be in your presence. I need to be ready to listen to your instruction and learn to think ways so I can live according to the world you've made. And there are mockers who are going to rubbish this. They'll laugh at you. But reality will catch up with them. Don't be the fool who comes to church and it makes no change to your life. Let me read on the warning from Woman Wisdom, verse 24. But since you refuse to listen, so she's talking to the people hearing her instruction, but since you refuse to listen when I call and no one pays attention when I stretch out my hand, since you disregard all my advice and do not accept my rebuke, I in turn will laugh when disaster strikes you. I will mock when calamity overtakes you. Now, from what we know from the rest of the book, it's not a happy laughter that they're suffering. It's not that she's a cruel... Wisdom is not cruel. Wisdom doesn't enjoy suffering. But wisdom does enjoy when the right thing happens. Wisdom does enjoy when the stupid people who will not listen end up tripping over. Because that's right. So wisdom enjoys that for that in that sense. It's right that people who go the wrong way end up in the wrong destination. That's a right thing, and that makes wisdom happy. Verse 28. Then they will call. This is those who hadn't listened. Then they will call, but I will not answer. They will look for me, but will not find me, since they hated knowledge and did not choose to fear the Lord. So they don't miss out on wisdom because they don't want to be wise at all. The problem is it's too late. They've gone so far down the wrong path. They hated knowledge. They didn't want the fear of the Lord. They didn't want God to be in charge of every part of their life. And they've gone so far down that road, they're stuck with it. They got what they wanted. They wanted to be in charge of their lives, and they found out that's a bad way. But it's too late. So that's the warning, the second warning. Don't miss out on the chance to learn. You know, God is speaking to you in the scripture. You can think about what you're being told and make choices to put it into practice and learn to be the character that goes with wisdom. You have an opportunity. An opportunity every day. Right now, today, here, God is challenging you. Not me, God, through his word that you're holding. You have an opportunity. There's a surprising ending to the chapter. Verse 32. For the waywardness of the simple will kill them. That's what she's just said. And the complacency of fools will destroy them. Yeah, she said that. Here's the surprise, verse 33. But whoever listens to me will live in safety and be at ease without fear of harm. Now, danger is to snatch this out of context and think, here's a promise from the Bible that if I'm a wise person, I'm going to go through life with no troubles. Always going to be calm. And we know that's not the case. We know from the Bible that's not the case. Proverbs is teaching us to think. Well, how is that true? It's true, at least in this sense, that they have no fear of the harm that will come to the fools and the mockers. They have no fear of landing in a situation where they're pleading for help and it's too late. At least it means that. But Proverbs is meant to make us think. It's not a simple book. It's a book that's helping us understand the world that's complicated. So we'll ever have to think. But let me give you the summary of what I've said. Wisdom is the skill of living well, of making decisions in life, like Solomon, like Jesus, as Rosemary read for us. Book of Proverbs says, the heart of wisdom, but the beginning of knowledge is the fear of the Lord. If we're living with the fear of the Lord, our characters are going to be changing in the right direction. But the very start of this book in Teaching Wisdom lays out these two warnings for us, based on the great attractiveness of being in a gang and the great attractiveness of easy money. And again, the attractiveness of just not listening. Thinking, yeah, I'll do that later. I'll find out perhaps when it's of interest to me. So let's pray for ourselves that we would learn wisdom. Almighty God, we thank you that there is opportunity for us to learn wisdom, for those of us who have not gone so far down the road of being fools and mockers. Please, Lord, don't let us go down that road. Please give us the willingness to accept your rebuke in the Bible. Please turn us into the sort of people who would not steal in the supermarket if the lights went out, who would not cheat in an exam if the invigilator left, because we are those who have a true fear of the Lord. Lord, please help all of us to take the opportunity you are giving us now to turn to be those who listen. Amen.